You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right. So I'm really pumped for this conversation. Joined today by a beautiful friend of mine, one of my favorite people in the world, Reggie. So welcome, Reg.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here today.
My pleasure. How you doing? You good?
I'm feeling quite neutral at the moment, just being present at the lake house that I'm at right now in Virginia. Been on the road for a month now, so uprooted myself from Nashville, and it's been an adjustment getting used to being on the road, living out of the van and in different people's spaces here and there. And it's been an adjustment, to say the least.
But yeah,
I'm doing well. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I get that. I think we underestimate how much like moving around a lot actually is really challenging. Hey, like that chaos of, like you said, being in different spaces, being around different people. Yeah. I never realized how much I was just in this constant state of chaos until I actually like grew roots here in the Gold Coast and started to stop traveling around so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember building some roots on the Goldie for a year and a half almost. I was there. It was, a year and probably 16 months actually that I was there. And it was, that was one of the most beautiful experiences I'd ever had in my life, being grounded on the Goldie.
Yeah. One of the best places on earth.
Yeah. Got the beach, you got the hinterland, only 20 minutes out from the beach. Just get your nervous system regulated in nature. You can go in the ocean, regulate yourself. Such a good vibe.
For sure. Sure. So for the listeners' sake, for those who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and I guess what your message is to the world, what your jam is?
Well, I am a Reginald Farmer. I hail from Nashville, Tennessee in the United States. And when I was around 27 years old, I was really unhappy. I was a personal trainer in Nashville. And my life began to change after I went through a somatic course, an inner child and somatic course in January of 2019. And a lot of energetic shifts happened for me internally at that time, released a lot of energy, had some experiences, some mystical experiences that I never had before. And coming out of that retreat, a lot of things shifted energetically within me, which means that the external had to match that energy. So whatever energy that we carry internally will be mirrored and matched externally. So my external reality began to shift quite rapidly, and I could sense that it was time for me to move on from Nashville because a couple of the gyms that I was coaching at got shut down. So I moved my clients to one gym got shut down, moved them to another gym shut down. And this was within like a month of me moving over to these gyms. So it became quite clear to me that it wasn't working in Nashville. I was feeling really constricted, and it was time for me to move on to the next phase of my journey. So I decided to move to Australia. Long story short, and that's where I met Bri. I met Bri at an event called the Bridge Experience when I first got over there. My first weekend there was at the Bridge. And we spent 2 weekends together, actually going really deep with 80 other humans. Was it 70? It was a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people there. And during that time of going to Australia, it was also my opportunity to burn the boats and make a decision. I was finally going to take the leap into becoming a mindset coach instead of a personal trainer in a brick and mortar gym, which was draining my life force. Honestly, it was like not nourishing to my soul. Like, I'm a very free spirit. Like, I want to travel. I want to meet new people from all over the world. I want to build relationships in the world. I want to have impact from anywhere in the world. And that's really nourishing for me. It energizes me. It inspires me. So moving to Australia was one of those opportunities to do so. And at the time that I moved to Australia, I also had met an awesome human being, my ex-girlfriend at the time, who I moved over and moved straight in with after 10 months of building a connection over the internet, over the Facebook, over the interwebs. This was online dating at its finest, for sure. And we moved in together. And at that time, like, I had a visa that wouldn't allow me to work in Australia. It was a ETA, electronic travel visa. And I could only travel. There was no work. There was no options for me to do anything. So this was something that I had to make work, was becoming a mindset coach online. So it was make a way out of no way, or my ass was going to be back in America. And I didn't want to do that. So dropped in, grounded in, made a way out of no way. And then everything ended up working out better than I could have imagined, even throughout COVID and all the uncertainty that arose then. And at the time when COVID hit, I was doing primarily mindset work, psychological work, primarily like story work, reframing, powerful questions, things like that, powerful paradigms, such as like how you do one thing, how you do anything, or nothing happens to you, everything happens for you, like all powerful stuff to help you like see the world through a different lens or to try on a new lens. And it's not the root of healing trauma or moving through energetic blockages that are really what's in our way. So I began to recognize that. I'd been exposed to somatic work at the Bridge. I'd been exposed to somatic work in 2019 when I went through some inner child work. And it was something that I recognized that I wanted to drop into more for myself. And the industry began to move in that direction. There's a lot more speak around trauma-informed coaches and the power of bringing your awareness into the body and actually being able to work directly with the felt sense of what's there for you, instead of just working with what's happening in your mind or in your brain and your thinking. So, yeah, then I went through a course called Elementum with Preston Alexi and then Stefanos and Christine Hasler, who are people that are awesome, and went through that course, got trauma-informed, and became more well-rounded somatic practitioner, and I freaking love somatic work. It is something that's near and dear to my heart. I love meditation and awareness practices, being the observer while also being able to feel the body directly, not just meditating to disassociate or just like observe, you know, your thoughts from a more like a higher place where there's not as much feeling involved. I like to, we call this like a kuru. The warrior's meditation, when you can meditate and also be directly connected with something that may be uncomfortable within your body and still be able to stabilize, hold ground and breathe through it and be regulated within yourself and continue to move forward powerfully in the clear mind and tapped into your heart. So those are some things that I begin to learn, and those are things that I begin to coach and that I love. And I imagine we may get into some of that today. But that was my story. That was my journey going through to Australia. And then I ended up back in America, where I'm at now. Still on the journey, still learning, still growing. And yeah, here in Virginia, getting it.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Can I ask, I mean, obviously, I know bits and pieces of this, but for the listener's sake, like, you come from a professional athlete background, right?
Close. College athlete okay. background. Yeah. I mean, it's close. It's damn near close enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was full time.
Yeah. So what, for you, like what, because I, my perspective is that kind of that and like where you're at now, I sort of like generally worlds apart, you know, like my experience of most athletes, you know, especially, yeah, I feel like there's kind of like a, there's a gap between the two. What was it for you that kind of shifted you into from that into, you know, like where you're at now doing a lot more like trauma-based somatic kind of work? Was there like something in particular that triggered it off?
Yeah, I mean, just deep pain.
Yeah.
Deep, deep emotional and spiritual pain. That's really what triggered it for the most part. I mean, when I did play sports, I actually dealt with a lot of anxiety, and I didn't know it was anxiety at the time, but I had what I now would diagnose as performance anxiety going out onto the field and even at practice, wanting to do really well and to make my coaches happy and do it right, quote unquote. Do a good job. Of course, you want to do a good job. You want to perform well. This is like why I'm part of the reason why I'm here at college. I have a scholarship to play football. They're paying for my education for this sport, to play this sport at least. So yeah, it came with a lot of pressure that I experienced and almost debilitating anxiety. And at the practices, if I or my teammates didn't do a good job, we got slandered pretty hard. I mean, I would call it verbal abuse to a pretty high degree. Getting called, you know, stupid. I mean, stupid ass, weak bitch, dumb motherfucker. All this stuff, like, oh, a lot of. Just, I don't even remember all the names. I disassociated and blocked a lot of it out during that time. So I dealt with that, and then after college football ended in 2014 for me, also at the same time, I was ending a 5-year relationship that I was in from 17 years old to 23. So I played football from 5 to 23, had a relationship from 17 to 23, and both of those things ended simultaneously. So I went through an identity crisis at that time. If you speak to a lot of athletes, I would assume specifically like college and professional athletes, once their careers are over, it's an identity crisis. They may not know what to do with their lives because that's what they've been doing their whole life, is playing this sport and dedicating every day, every week to being a competitor and doing really well and performing, being a high performer in this specific sport. So when that's gone, there's a whole piece of the identity that's gone with it and gets to be hopefully created anew. Some people fall into the abyss and, you know, don't find their way out of that. But for me, I went through that identity crisis. I went to just like partying and drinking and doing drugs and things like that, because I was really trying to numb myself out from the pain of the breakup, of the loss of this 5-year relationship with this girl that I thought I was going to marry. I truly did, you know, high school sweetheart, all that good stuff, you know. So I'd already created illusion, created a fantasy, and attached myself to that. We both did. We attached ourselves to that reality. And realizing that that wasn't going to come true was deeply painful to reality to meet. So I went through those experiences, and I ended up really having a lot of hatred towards her, like deep hatred. And it's really like, genuinely, I believe I have a soul that is, or a soul / personality that's genuinely just like really nice. I'm just naturally a nice person. I do have my shadow sides of that for sure, that I'm working through and working on constantly. But for me to hold on to anger, like that to the degree that I was literally just draining my life force. It felt like I was soulless, so to speak. And I really had to compartmentalized so much of myself to even hold on to that anger. It was hatred. I'm positive that I've never hated a human being, but there was about a 6 month period there where I hated my ex-girlfriend at that time. So that sent me into a depression for about 6 months. I was using opioids and different drugs and things like that to numb myself, medicate myself, pacify myself. So I didn't have to feel anything. At the time, I didn't know that I was doing this, but, you know, I was unconscious to it. And eventually I decided that, you know what, this is horrible. I feel like shit. Like, I need to do something to figure something out. And then I remembered my uncle had gifted me a book when I was in seventh grade, and it was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. And I picked that book up. You know, I'm 24 years old. I haven't read a fucking book since college. I was like, fuck books. After college, I'm not reading anything ever again. And then all of a sudden, I find myself reading this personal development book, you know, and I come across the words, quote by Viktor Frankl, and the quote goes to the tune of in between stimulus and response, you have the freedom to choose. There's choice there. And that choice is the greatest human freedom, something along those lines, right? So as soon as I read that, like, epiphany, boom, like freaking fireworks were going off in my head. I'm like, holy shit, I've been a victim this whole time, blaming my ex for everything that I'm experiencing right now. And then I started to take responsibility for how I felt, how I showed up, what I could have done better, responsibility for my anger. And then everything started to shift after that. And, you know, naturally, once you go down the psychological route, if you just do this work long enough, then inevitably you'll end up somewhere in the, I guess, less logical, less linear work of, you know, personal development / spirituality. You'll end up in the body, which is largely nonlinear and magical, mystical. And that's how I ended up where I'm at now. I started learning to slow down a lot more and not be forcing myself to do things. I started to soften and get into my heart and get out of my head and realize that life is not a fight like it is on the battlefield, on the football field that I played on, because it's like a survival mentality. I'm forgetting what the gentleman's name is that had that philosophy, but, you know, I had to move away from that. And as I started to soften and get in touch with my body more, I was able to deploy more empathy for myself, different parts of myself that I didn't like. And through that empathy within myself, I was able to extend that to other people and stay in connection with others, even amidst a conflict or amidst some type of issue, or maybe I'm judging them in some way and I'm, you know, still able to like drop in and allow them to be how they are without it causing too much issue. So those were, that's how I ended up here. Just starting to soften, getting my heart more, really. I think Bridge was the biggest, one of the biggest interjection points, because in that weekend workshop, they would often say, like, you're in your head right now. Or you're in your heart. And then I started to get that language and have the experience of seeing, witnessing, hearing somebody who's speaking from the mind versus somebody who's speaking from the heart. And that was like, boom, you know, that was an epiphany right there in and of itself. Yeah, that was a big one right there.
Yeah, I definitely had that same experience at Bridge. Like, I remember, you know, we had an opportunity amongst that workshop to give feedback and to receive feedback. And I remember at the time, like, the feedback I got from most people, like, it was the recurring feedback was like, I can't feel your heart. And I was like, what? Like, are you serious? Like, really? And that, like, that blew me away, because I've always seen myself as like, my heart's so big, I don't know what to do with it most of the time. But, you know, it was like, yeah, there was so much kind of wounding and pain and guardedness and, you know, this belief that I needed to protect it. So it came off as like almost this like tough exterior shell. And so, yeah, like you said, kind of having that reference point of like, oh, Like, this is how people respond to me when I'm in my heart. This is what it feels like to be in my heart versus this is how people respond to me when I'm in my head. And, you know, this is what it feels like to be in my head, you know? Yeah. So like that for me was huge as well. That difference between, yeah, living from the head and living from the heart, living from the mind, living from the body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a huge experience for sure. For many of us that were there. And yeah, I took that back into my life and it slowly and surely started to kick in. It wasn't immediate. This was like a year, 2 year development of me starting to drop more and more into my heart. And it is happening still to this day. You know, like I'll get messages from somebody that may be pointing out something to me that I've done that's ineffective or could be done better or something that I said or a way that I'm being. And I'll go straight to my head, straight to defensive patterns, defensive strategies, and not wanting to take responsibility. And then it's like, you know, just take my awareness, unhook it from this area right behind the eyes, which is where most of us have our awareness constricted. It's very tight and there's a lot of tension there. And there's a lot of focus on the external world instead of focusing on what's happening for us internally. So I unhook my awareness from there and then I drop it down into my body and try to find my heart and or just, you know, my torso area. And I just start to feel what's there, what's really there for me. And ever since like starting that practice, I've really been able to get to know myself in a much more intimate way, and see how many different nuanced little aspects of myself get really triggered and uncomfortable and want to run away, want to, you know, disassociate or I'm running away from those parts of myself that are, you know, feeling uncomfortable, maybe just in the left part of my rib cage or in my stomach or in my heart, the bottom of my heart, or maybe there's some tension in my throat. And all this stuff is always speaking, you know, pretty much on loudspeaker, when we can like really drop into it and start to like meet ourselves there. So doing all of that, like starting to meet those aspects of self, which are like, I would call it like isolated parts. They're like little children. You can basically view them as little kids that are on the island by themselves that, you know, when we're triggered, they're like screaming, like, hey, I need some love. Hey, I need some attention. Hey, I'm scared. Hey, can you talk to me? You know, you haven't said a word to me in 10 years. I'm just waiting for you to come heal me, you know? Yeah. So those opportunities are always available to us. So I think just like, yeah, softening into all that has helped me make that transition big time, because I've always been a really sensitive person, but that wasn't advantageous growing up in the 90s as a male. You know, I got called names for that and made fun of and poked at because of that sensitivity, and now in 2022 it's becoming a strength. So what now, motherfuckers? Times change, bitch. Yeah, so sensitivity is becoming a strength. Yeah, sensitivity not in the form of like somebody being weak, but sensitivity in the form of being energetically aware of yourself, other people in your environment, and what is needed in the moment, what's being asked of you from yourself within you, or maybe from your environment, or maybe from somebody else in your environment. And when you're tuned in, you can really sense and be there. Yeah, just things that I'm learning. I remember you and I had a conversation back last year in 2021 after we were having some challenges, and that was really beautiful conversation. I feel like we both were in our hearts in that conversation, maybe not at the beginning or all the way through, but we navigated our way into that experience, and that was really healing for both of us, you know.
Totally.
And yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And there's something about that depth of connection, that richness, you know, like I feel we all need it, and we could have easily just been like, ah, fuck it, we're not friends anymore, you know. That's fucking bullshit. Like, I know that I've chosen you to be my friend for the long haul. So for me to like fuck it off because of my ego and I don't want to face off with my shit is bullshit, in my opinion. So really, I'm glad that we, and for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, we just had a conflict in our relationship and we got an opportunity to speak about it, talk about it, be open, be vulnerable, be raw, be real, which Bree's actually really good at.
Thank you.
Maybe a little too good sometimes. My sensitive self is hard for me to handle at times, but yeah, it was a really awesome conversation.
Yeah. I still look back on that. Like, I really think yours and my dynamic and some of the challenges you and I have been through and you know, all of the ruptures that we've managed to repair has been some of the like biggest lessons for me in, you know, relating with men and friendships and how to stay in my heart. You know, I actually think I'm really glad we're having this conversation because I think this is a very timely reminder. I'm like, oh, I've forgotten a few things along the way. And I definitely, it's really perfect timing of like, oh, come back to your heart. So yeah, I'm really appreciative of the friendship that you and I have had. It has really served as an opportunity many, many, many times over for me to like check in and go, okay, like what's me being, you know, protective and guarded and unnecessarily so, you know? Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. For sure. I feel like that's the theme right now, just in life. In 2022, navigating everything that's going on and all the shifts and everything that's going on in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
I think I may be bringing this through today because it was a realization that I'd had even just being on this podcast today. I'm just like, you know, how much of my life am I operating from my head right now and how much of it am I operating from my heart? And it feels like quite a bit of it has been from my head. And yeah, I've been overestimating, but giving too much weight to my mind, you know, and yeah, giving it too much power, so to speak, instead of just dropping into my heart, being present, and trusting the intuition and the guidance that comes through and just leading from that place. And I think that at this present moment in my life with being on the road, with navigating a new intimate relationship, with making changes in my business and all these things, it's like going to be imperative for me to be present in my heart and see where it goes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just trust that, because that's what literally led me to Australia, led me to all the experiences, all the most beautiful experiences like I've had in my entire life. Like if I would have just been listening to my mind, then I would have never done any of that. I would still be in Nashville.
Yeah, I feel that. I had the same, like coming from South Australia and moving to the Gold Coast pretty much on a whim, you know, like I think like my mind was like, that doesn't make sense. You know, like, why would you just pack it all up and go? Especially because I was really starting to get good, solid business traction in Adelaide at the time. But my heart was like, Gold Coast, like, get your ass to Burley, you know? Yeah, it would have been so easy to just not listen, to just, you know, stick with what my head thought was the right thing, was the logical thing, to stick with what, you know, people told me was the smart decision.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think of like, oh my God, I would have missed out on so much, you know, like I would have never met you. I wouldn't have done Bridge. I wouldn't have like, fuck, I look at my life in the Gold Coast now and I'm like, I'm living it. Like I'm living the dream. Just the other day, I was voice messaging a friend, an old friend from South Australia. And I was standing out on my balcony. And I, for those who don't know, I live like our balcony view looks out over this beautiful lake. And my friend voice messaged back and she was like, oh my God, I'm so jealous. Like I can hear the seagulls in the background. And, you know, for me, like I'm an ocean lover. And, you know, I grew up in a little country town kind of overlooking the ocean. And so I'd wake up to the sound of seagulls and fall asleep to the sound of seagulls. And, you know, like it's so the norm to me at this point that it's just background noise. Like, I'm not even aware of it. But having her say, oh, my God, I'm so jealous. And I was like, fuck, like, I'm literally living the fucking dream. And I would have missed out on all of this if I listened to my head.
Yeah. You are living the dream for sure.
Yeah,
I know it. I know it. I see it on your story. I'm like, damn it. I want to go back. I want to go back to the Goldie. Oh, man. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Trust. I'll make my way back. There's something that you mentioned about, like, living the life of your dreams. Like, you're in it now. You're living it. It is manifested. You're really grounded in it. Like, there's a lot that's, I feel, that has shifted since I've gone, since I left over a year ago almost for you. And it just seems like you're just, like, rooted in the Goldie. And also you've been traveling too, which is great. So, but it had me think too, like, oftentimes when we have a dream or a vision, a goal, and we, you know, maybe a year later, 2 years later, find ourselves sitting in the reality, sitting in the manifestation of that goal. And we fail to realize, like, you know, that we're actually there. Or we miss the little, like, opportunities to be grateful, like the seagulls in the background. It's like, it's become white noise for you now. You're like, well, whatever, you know. But it's a manifestation of something that you really desire to create and something that you're enjoying. But it's like, no matter what, also, wherever we land, nothing's ever going to be perfect, you know. Okay. There's always going to be a challenge. There's always going to be, like, an energetic distortion or something that we get to meet or overcome. I like the saying that at every level, there's a new devil, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
And I've often operated under this illusion that, like, once I get to this place and I get back there or get there, then everything's gonna be perfect. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna be feeling this. I'm gonna be feeling that. And I do feel those things. And it's like, well, here's your next challenge. Now that you stepped into this new reality, now that you've, you know, stepped into the next level, here's the new thing that you get to meet. Here's the next edge. I'm like, God damn it. I thought it was going to be perfect. Rainbows and butterflies and just easefulness, which there are periods of that, but I'm sitting in it right now. I'm like, you know, I got the van. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I'm loving it. Like, I know I'm going to keep living this lifestyle for a while. And at the same time, like, holy shit, this has been hard. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. I've been dysregulated as fuck. Being around so many different people, you know, and being in new spaces and not, it's challenging to be grounded, and, like, being grounded is really important for some systems, especially people like me, who may run an enduring pattern, which means that a lot of your energy and life force gets sent down into your hips and you are very grounded, stable, yet you are hypervigilant for people entering your space. And when people enter your space, it triggers the fuck out of you. So that is me. And if you resonate, then that may be you. And if so, moving around a lot and being around a lot of new people could be difficult for you. So, and cause you to be dysregulated like I have been. And at the same time, it's like, oh, it's been so much fun, you know, like, I guess, meeting a new edge with regulating myself, you know, finding new ways to regulate myself. And also navigating a new relationship in which there gets to be a co-regulation happening, you know, which has been awesome and cool as well. So,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Three.
So, following the recent requests for nervous system-based dating advice, I have taken it upon myself to bring you Wildfire. Now, Wildfire is a free Telegram channel designed to support you in creating an inspired, embodied, steamy love life. This is for the woman who perhaps, you know, has been out of the game for a while, is new to dating and is feeling a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit anxious, a little bit overwhelmed, or for the woman who, you know, is just wanting to experience something deeper in their love life. So this channel will be full of free content on all things attachment style, emotional regulation, nervous system regulation, healing from past breakups and challenges, masculine and feminine dynamics, and I'll even be littering in some of the inside scoop in my own dating world that I never share publicly. Now, I'll be doing this through the lens of really helping you to have real world examples of just how good it gets to be. So if this is something that you're interested in, you can find the link to join Wildfire in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you in there.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. I've been, like you said, with every level comes a new devil. Like I think of it as like, you know, the analogy or the visual that I see is, you know, it's like you're adding coins to your piggy bank. And so like, you know, like with every next step, you're adding a coin, but it's like for every coin you add, you can't just take one side of the coin. You have to take, you know, both heads and tails in order for you to claim that coin as your own. So you have to take the good with the bad, right?
Yeah.
And I've been going through this, I've been reading The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Oh, before. It's like, it's incredible. Honestly, I recommend every person on the face of the earth needs to read this book. It's for women, but I think men need to read it as well. And it's basically digs deep into understanding the ways in which men and women think and process and communicate differently. And I've been through some relationship challenges, you know, over the last, if I'm honest, it's probably been about 18 months of just straight initiation one after the other in intimate relationship. And so I've been reading this book and it's been pulling me back into my heart of like, I've always been someone who, I love men. Like I really, I hold the deepest, I just love men. I hold so much respect for men. And this is allowing me to understand them more deeply and it's opening my heart a lot more to men. And it, so it's been this really cool, nuanced journey. But then the other side of the coin is that it's bringing up all of the little quiet parts of me that is like conditioned into being a man hater. And it's been this wild journey over the last, it's been like 2 weeks of both loving men on like a deeper level and really seeing them. And then watching this like dark feminine part of me kind of just like in the background, like, yeah, but fuck the patriarchy or, and I hate that term, but you know, like fuck masculinity basically. And yeah, it's been a very nuanced couple of weeks for me of like sorting through like what's the truth for me, what's true for me and what's empowering for me and what's going to take me to that next level. But then also meeting that other side of the coin and going and recognizing that that's that new level, you know, the new devil, the new level that, yeah, just as you said, that part of me that wants a little bit of attention and that wants me to sit there and go, actually, like men have done some really fucked up shit to you. To your lineage and to, you know, women in general and to one another, and you get to fucking be mad about that.
Yes, you do. You do. That part of you gets to be fucking mad.
Yeah. And you know what? Not making myself wrong for that, because I've noticed, like, because I don't want to be a man hater. I have no space for, you know, I don't think that that's a heart driven way to live. And so it would have been really easy. And there's been moments where I'm like, I've made myself wrong for it. And I'm like, put your head in, Brie. Like, you know that men aren't bad. Like, they do silly things from time to time as humans do. And, you know, that doesn't make them bad. So, yeah, kind of having that compassion and having space for that part of me and not making myself wrong for still, despite all the work that I've done, having these bits come up that are like, fuck men.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of funny, actually. I can see like a little part of you popping up and being like, fuck these guys. But yeah, that's the game right there, is like witnessing those little parts that have a say, that have something to say. It's It's an essence, you know, it's a part of your system, it's a part of your makeup, and to make it wrong or reject it just creates further polarization within your exactly. body, within your nervous system, within your energetic field. So it's like, you know, when you can do that and just wave at that part and be like, oh, that's really how you feel, okay, that's fine, that's cool. And it doesn't have to be true for all of you. It can be true for that part, you know, and that part gets the voice, you know.
Totally. Even taking like the nuggets from that part of me, like, because, you know, there's pieces that I agree with. There's pieces of what accurate. She has to say that are accurate. Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I've actually been really each night just closing my eyes and sitting with her and going, okay, so like, if you were trying to tell me something, what would you want me to know? You know, and it's like, okay, well, discernment, like there are wounded men out there who have had their power stripped, and so they desire to strip others of their power, right? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you. I hear that. I'm going to utilize and allow this dark feminine part of me to bring more discernment into my life, you know? And yeah, just recognizing that, like, everything serves its purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. So even that piece that I'm like cringing is even there, like this man-hating part of me that I'm totally cringing about. I'm like, oh, no, she's got magic too. Like, and she's showing up because it's like, all right, motherfucker, you're going to listen to me. Like, I've got some shit you need to know, so you're going to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's cool to think that, like, in some of the parts work circles or IFS, internal family systems work, they say that each part of us has a positive intention at the end of the day, regardless of the behaviors or some of the words it may say. At the very root essence is trying to communicate something or protect or get a need met in some way. It has a positive intention for the overall system, the organism that is your body, that is your mind, that is your spirit, that is all that. At least that's the framework, you know. That's not a truth, it's a paradigm to look through the world and look at yourself through. But I think that just like shows you that part of you does have a positive intention. It has something to communicate. It has some wisdom to be integrated that can be utilized for you. And the truth is that there are men that are, you know, threatening or wounded or dangerous. And, you know, that's why you train jiu-jitsu and you're a badass. So. No, there's a lot of people who train jiu-jitsu here at the lake house. And yeah, one of the girls was just talking about that she wants to be, you know, well prepared for anything. So she's going to start training jiu-jitsu and then she wants to get a gun. There's some crazy shit going on out here, man. We got AK-47s, we got a lot of things going on, but it's pretty cool. They got mats downstairs, they got, you know, kettlebells, they got a kickboxing bag, the whole oh no, you would love it, Brie.
I'll be watching your stories. I'm like, damn, I'm like, I want to
there. Yeah, there's some badasses here. But yeah, I think what you're pointing to right there is some of the work that I've really, really been digging lately and has made such a huge difference just in my experience of like less civil war with myself and more, I guess, wholeness, more integration, more peace within the psyche, more peace within the nervous system. I had a client that I worked with at one time. He was having trouble going to the gym and comparing himself to the other men in the gym. And he, you know, he felt like they were judging him and making fun of him when he was going into using some of the exercise equipment, some of the machines and stuff. And it would ultimately deter him from even wanting to go to the gym. Like, he wouldn't even go because of this sometimes. And we sat in a session and had him go into his body and find the discomfort and then locate the part of him that was really experiencing some fear and anxiety around being in the gym. And once we connected with this part, it ended up being like about a tween age version of him, you know, maybe sixth grade or something like that. And he was walking through school and he noticed like some older kids at the school, and the older kids were like bullies and kind of poking fun at the younger kids and stuff. And he wanted to like befriend these older kids so that he wouldn't get bullied, so that he wouldn't get beat up, so that he could be in with the cool crowd and be protected and all that stuff. And anyways, I had him meet this part of himself and have a conversation with this younger part of himself and begin to comfort that part of himself, asking what he needed, asking what he was experiencing, and start to build a relationship with it. And as we integrated that part and he had a release, next time he went to the gym, it was just it was a lot less triggering. The trigger wasn't fully removed, but he was able to go in there with like a lot more peace and just ease and less hypervigilance on what other people were thinking or what they were saying or how they were perceiving him and things like that. So I feel that just like when we can learn to start to build relationship with the aspects of us that we literally hate or want to just like would want to throw up when we hear it talk or speak, you know, there can be so much. It just brings even more love to yourself. When you talk about self-love, it's like self-love means learning to love all aspects of self. At the end of the day, that's what it is. It's not like you can take bubble baths, like that's great, you know, I don't do that, but
I do.
You do, I know you do, I see it all the time. Yeah. You can do, you know, self-love practices, which are great, they're amazing. I feel, you know, they're external expressions of you know, a mirror of what you're giving to yourself internally. But also I feel that a self-love practice is like what Bree just explained, of like hearing this part of her that she's like, oh, damn, I thought I was past this. Actually, you know, I don't agree with that. Or, you know, there's a part of her that's resistant to this aspect of herself. And now she's building a relationship with it and integrating the knowledge and wisdom that this part has. And they all have a gift. They all have talents. All these parts have skills and abilities, but they also have a shadow side. And that's the part that we don't want to deal with and navigate through. But once we start to, it's really potent, really powerful. And it just brings so much more peace into your experience when you start to realize that there's nothing to run from anymore. There's nothing to hide from.
You know? I love that you said that piece around, like, they've all got skills. They've all got, you know, talents. Because even, like, I've been kind of workshopping this dark feminine side of me with my housemate. I was kind of like tuning into, okay, well, like how does she serve? And what I realized, like I competed in a jiu-jitsu competition maybe like 3-4 months ago now. And in preparation for that comp, I haven't disclosed this before, but in preparation for that comp, I was really tuning into like, what's the energy that I want to bring to that competition? And so I kept tuning into the energy of like a lioness, right? Like, and I actually had this image of a lioness with like blood dripping down her face as my phone background in prep for the comp. Because I was tuning into like, okay, well, when a lioness is hunting, like she's not concerned that the gazelle is going to turn back on her. Like she's waiting for that gazelle to tire itself out and then she'll strike, you know? And it's, she trusts in her power. She trusts in her speed. She trusts in her ability to hunt. And so when I've been tuning into this kind of dark feminine that's coming up, this like man-hating like hunter coming up within me, I'm like, well, fuck, like that's actually like that's the champion. That's the part of me that went out and actually won double gold, you know, at this comp. Yeah, it's like this huntress kind of side of me. And so, yeah, you know, like I've been really just playing in that of like, okay, cool, like she's a bit scary and she's pretty fucking potent, but like that serves, you know, and it's being able to, I call it style flexing, you know, it's being able to like cool on and be comfortable with different parts of yourself and different traits and characteristics at different times so that, you know, we become this multifaceted human being who's able to kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, like chameleon themselves for different, you know, for what different experiences are calling forward for us from us.
There's a definitely a dynamism in that
Yeah.
And that ability. And I love that you said style flexing. I remember that from P.
Yeah.
That's at least where I've heard it from. Preston Smiles. But for you, when you like with this dark feminine aspect of you, as you integrate this part, do you feel that you're bringing this part of you like closer to your heart to be able to like utilize its gifts without allowing it to like completely like take you over, or just like completely rejecting that part? You know, like most of the time, I feel like with some of these aspects of ourselves, we can either let it fully, like we merge with it and it becomes us and we're unconscious to that it's operating our actions and our behaviors, or we just completely reject it and banish it to the dungeon of our unconscious, right? But there's like a place where you can play in between that, where you can like let you can try it on different parts of it, but it doesn't hijack your entire state. Like, you know that you're channeling something, but it's not like completely you and you're conscious to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just curious, like, as you integrate this part, how are you doing that? Like, is it coming through your heart? Is it like, what's, if you can answer that question.
I think it's, I don't really know if there's a conscious step by step. Honestly, I think I've just been spending a lot of time sitting with her, you know, like, mm-hmm. like kind of getting curious of like, okay, well, what's your magic? Like, you know, and like, if I were to let you take the lead for a little while, what could open up for me? You know, mm-hmm. like, and again, like this dark feminine part of me, I can feel like there's like a consumption component of her. So it's like, you know, like again, the huntress, it's like, okay, well, I want like fucking money and like cars and like luxury and like, you know, food and sex and like just this like,
yeah,
yeah, almost like, yeah, this consumerist kind of like element to her. And, you know, I think often we kind of, society shuns that, like it's like a greed kind of underlying theme. But I've been sitting with, okay, well, like, cool. Like, if this part of me is deeply connected to my heart, then why would it be wrong that she's money hungry, you know? Because if it's heart connected, whatever money I make is only going to deepen my service, you know? And I've had a really beautiful, I thank my dark feminine for this, because of her, I went out and made, you know, from this place of like kind of internal anger and fury at the world that we live in and what I view to be quote unquote wrong in the world. I say wrong loosely. The things that have made me angry about the world, I've been able to go out and serve more people, which has made me more money, which has actually allowed me recently to buy my mum and I like a little luxury experience that I know has been on my mum's bucket list for a long time. And that I know that if it weren't for my mum's the kind of person, she wouldn't go out and do that for herself. She wouldn't go and buy that experience for herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, that's really fucking cool. Like that this part of me that society would probably shun pretty heavily, this greedy part of me, has opened up space to not only serve more people through my work, but also to serve my mum, you know, and give my mum something that, yeah, she probably wouldn't get to experience otherwise. So I don't know whether that answers your question, but just that in and of itself, when I sit with, okay, what's this part of me bringing forward for me? What opportunities is she opening up for me? I just feel gratitude. Like I can actually feel I'm a little bit choked up. Yeah, it's there's just gratitude there for her.
That's so powerful. I appreciate you sharing that. That's really beautiful. That this dark feminine aspect of you has afforded this beautiful opportunity for you to be of higher service and be able to bear gifts and an experience for you and your mom, and something that she will really appreciate and that she wouldn't do for herself. That's really cool, and I can resonate with what you're sharing, and it has me asking myself about my dark masculine or feminine, you know, aspects of myself that I get to play with, you know, meet,
yeah,
build relationship with, integrate, One of my deepest desires is to have different experiences, or help my mom to have experiences of traveling. Or I know she wants to fly in an airplane, one of the jet fighters, which I do too, and go upside, you know, do the little upside down, twisty turning, 360s, all that stuff. They may try to make you pass out. She wants to do that, all that stuff. But that's something that I definitely want to do for her. And I feel it would bring so much joy to both of us to have that experience.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you sharing that. It's really important to me as well.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's this, especially the darkness of the masculine and feminine, like it's so shunned by society, really, particularly when we dig into religion and all of that sort of stuff. There's like this underlying shame piece around it. But yeah, it's really, I mean, that's that primal survivor aspect of us. That's the provider, you know, the part of us that is willing to go out and hunt and to go through struggle and war in order to survive and in order to, you know, keep our families alive. And yeah, I think as long as it's integrated and brought back to the heart, then like I'm a fuck yeah to it. You know, like I think honestly, like beyond the man-hating part is probably the only piece that I still need to come to peace with. But other than that, like I love my dark feminine. She's one of my favorite parts of myself. Because, like she's the one where it's like, no, like don't fuck with my cubs, you know? Like if someone comes at me, it's like I'll fight you till the death, you know? Yeah, and if I didn't have that part of me, then I'd be a pushover. And I think that's the part, especially women, like that's the part. I see so many women who just allow wrongdoing to happen and just they kind of just lay down and take it and become a doormat. And it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Get your cubs, protect yourself, you know, protect the pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes down to cultural programming and all that stuff. So, that's actually been one of the themes here at the Lake House, as we've been talking about being that defender, being that protector. I actually had a conversation with a gentleman named Brandon Powell, who is one of Wim Hof's right-hand man instructors, and he's, you know, got a background in jiu-jitsu and martial arts. And, you know, if anybody's ever heard of Jocko Willink, he's connected with him, like they're buddies and whatnot. But he was speaking about, you know, after having his kids, his children, his 10-year-old and 6-year-old, that there was a switch that happened for him. And he already had it, but that, you know, that protector, that guard, that warrior, you know, was even more brought online. And I was mentioning to him that I've been having that experience happen for me, this desire to bring through like that protector, that provider, like this fatherly energy, although I don't have any kids yet, but there's something in me that's being switched on, like, right now, that's like, all right, bro, it's time. You know, 31 years old, and it's not necessarily about the age, I feel, but there's just, I don't know, there's something happening right now, and it feels really fucking good. And I feel that a part of that will be this darker aspect of myself, this darker masculine, which is something that I have shunned, something that I have experienced shame with. Yet it's now like a fire that's building up that I'm excited to get to play with. So I'll report back.
Yeah, we'll please do. I love this.
Over the next few months, because he's here. He's arriving for sure.
A rise into kingship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. That's why the name change. Going through an identity shift. I feel that's why this past two, three months have been so difficult. I pulled the Tower card in tarot. My first tarot reading, I pulled the fucking Tower card. Second tarot reading, pull the fucking tower card again. So, like, transformation, identity shifts, like, if things feel like they're internally falling apart, not necessarily externally. Externally, things are quite, you know, pretty kosher, I would say, and feel good. But internally, it's been quite chaotic and definitely going through an identity death and shift for sure.
Yeah. You're like, I thought my Saturn returns was over.
I thought, I'm telling you, Brie, I thought it was something returned. This one feels shorter, though.
Okay.
I can tell it feels short. It feels like much shorter than the Saturn returns. That motherfucker was like a year and a half.
As I was just coming into mine, I think it was last year, you were like, oh, Brie, like you're going into your Saturn returns. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool, like a couple of months. You're like, well, it's been 18 months for me. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like I've been getting my ass kicked since the end of 2020 in the best way. Like, I'm like, oh, this is super juicy. But I'm like, come on, like, give me a drink break, please.
Yeah. The universe is over here handing out them right hooks, left hooks. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so for anyone that wants to tune in and follow along with your journey, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Sir Reggie Ra.
Beautiful. And I'll pop the links and everything in the bio.
Yeah, holler at me. Just if you want to engage, shoot me a DM.
Yeah.
And we can chat.
Beautiful. Thanks for a good chat. I needed that. I really, really needed that. Truth be told, for the listener's sake, I think both Reggie and I were like, oh, I was definitely like, oh, I've got nothing to talk about. I'm zapped. And yeah, I think this was really perfect. I think I definitely needed to hear it. So that's the best thing about having a podcast. I always get exactly what I need. It's like, at this point, I didn't even record these for the listeners. I record them for me.
Yeah. Just open up the space. And start chatting and something will come through.
We'll feed
off each other's energies and whatever's needed, whatever's being called for will come through. So I'm excited that we got to do that today. And thank you for having me on.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Appreciate how you show up. You're a boss. Keep going.
Thanks, Rich.
Your Aries sun. Keep bringing it through. I love that fire.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah. Appreciate you heaps. And what a beautiful chat. Love you.
Yeah. Love too.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live Free Experience podcast. Now, I'm a real person back here, so every mention, every share, every bit of feedback is deeply valued, and I love nothing more than hearing what golden nuggets are landing for you. So if something did land for you, or there's someone in your world who needs to hear this, please share it with them and share it to your social media. Tag me in it so that I'm aware of it and I can share it to my story. As I said, every little bit counts, every little bit helps get this message out there. And I want to close off today's conversation. Ladies, this one's for you. I have a free ebook and audio training called Fierce and Free. And this is for the woman who is looking to really step things up a level in her world, looking to overcome people-pleasing tendencies, build greater boundaries, and just be more discerning in where their energy is going. So you can get access to that one free at www.fiercefreewoman.com. And I will speak to you all soon.